Oh, we've got your agenda for the week ahead, and it looks like it's dominated by conflict, whether it's in the Middle East or in Wisconsin and in Washington over the budget. We got to work through all of these battles going on. Joining this morning in studio, we get to see your lovely face, Chrystia Freeland, Reuters Global Editor at Large. And Chrystia, your word for the week?
Okay, my word for the week, I'm afraid, is my own coinage, which is the Groupon effect.
You don't have to apologize for that. That's great.
Okay.
The Groupon effect.
Okay. The Groupon effect.
Referring to the online company that does coupon deals. And also with us is our Takeaway Economics editor and WNYC editor, Charlie Herman.
Good morning. Good morning.
And yours?
Showdown. Showdown in everything from Wisconsin to Washington to pretty much anywhere in the Middle East, it seems.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the Middle East. And obviously, there's political uprisings in places people never thought, all the way into Cote d'Ivoire and into Iran. More protest plans in Algeria, Bahrain, Yemen, Iran, Libya. There are still some lingering problems in Jordan as well. And a judicial council in Egypt says they're just about done rewriting the country's constitution. They were given 10 days to draw it up. It looks like they're finishing in record time. So, Chrystia, what do we expect to hear from the White House in response to what's going on in Libya and Bahrain, especially where it's the most violent?
Well, I think that it's really time, and we've started to see a little bit of movement here already, but it's time for the White House and really for sort of Western elites in general, including probably people like us, to get ahead of the curve. And what I meant by the Groupon effect was something really new has happened, which is, I think, facilitated by social media and also, you know, an older media, TV, in the form of Al Jazeera. We seem to have hit this tipping point where we know there is pent-up frustration in a lot of countries that have really crummy governments, but we've just rather complacently thought, oh, these people will never be able to get it together. They'll never be able to overthrow their dictators. All of a sudden, it seems like a lot of people can. And one of the things that I find rather remarkable is the extent to which, you know, rather than, you know, as I think we did say when the Berlin Wall fell, and rather than all saying, you know, this is actually really terrific, it's a big sort of group of humanity actually coming out, having the courage to try to have a better government, I think the reaction in the West has been rather grudging. So my hope for the White House this week would be embrace the Arab Spring.
Wow. Okay. Well, that'd be pretty brave. I mean, I'm sure the White House is trying to be very careful about not looking like they're encouraging or manipulating in any way the protesters. But I guess that's a fine line to walk. But since you're talking about discontent with government, we might as well go to Wisconsin, where clearly there's a great deal of discontent with the governor. That Republican Governor Scott Walker, former Eagle Scout, put forward a bill that, yes, it makes the union members, public sector union members, pay more for their pension and their benefits, but it also almost eliminates completely collective bargaining. Here's Governor Scott Walker speaking on Fox News Sunday.
There are 5.5 million people in this state, taxpayers who, by and large, are sacrificing in their own jobs in the private sector, paying much more than the 5.8% for pension and the 12.6% for health care I'm asking for. In fact, in many cases, two or three times that amount.
So, Chrystia, it seems as though the unions are actually willing to give on paying more for their pension and benefits. But what could possibly come of the collective bargaining pieces of his bill? I mean, how could this end up?
Well, I think that this is a really important fight. And, you know, rightly, a lot of people outside Wisconsin are focusing on it. I think that what you have seen is the right really figuring out that public sector unions are a terrific target for them. Because, after all of us pay taxes, but not that many of us are unionized public sector workers. And there is, you know, most people are worried about their jobs. They're worried about their tax bill. And the notion that your money is going to pay people who have benefits that are richer than your own, as we heard the governor just underlining, I think is a very potent political message. Now, what's been interesting for me about Wisconsin is it's the first time we've seen a very powerful public pushback against that. And what's also interesting about Wisconsin, and really, you know, it's being framed as an issue of budgets and the state has just run out of money, but it's very political too. You know, if it's just about money, I think we do have to ask, why are the firefighters exempt? Why are the policemen exempt? So, you know, it's been politicized right from the start, and the collective bargaining provision is another example of this extreme politicization of it.
And I think it's also a proxy fight that you're having in Wisconsin right now, in the sense of this is something that's happening in many other parts of the country. You look here in New York, for example, there's a similar issue
Absolutely.
With the teachers union, but not necessarily with some other unions, that some are, you know, backing the mayor in New York City as well as the governor, but others are not. So I think this is very much this, where are we going to get cuts? Where are we going to make changes? We're looking at the unions as a place to do that.
Well, since you're speaking about politicized arguments relating to the budget, we might as well just go straight to Washington, because clearly they're not in session right now, or the Senate is not meeting this week, but...
But there's still a lot of negotiations
there
over
is.
This House budget that was sent to the Senate that was passed over the weekend.
The president has said he will not sign.
So we're on this road now to this idea of shutdown, and some people saying it's not going to happen, some saying it could happen. Republicans worried about the specter of another government shutdown, which happened in 1995, 96, and the implications from that. So this is an issue that's there, whether or not they can actually find the cuts for it. This ties back to Wisconsin, this whole idea of who is actually going to see a cut to their pension, see a cut to health care, who's actually going to have to suffer when you come to this moment where you actually have to make cuts to be able to balance a budget. People are trying to figure out how to spread it out, and each vested group doesn't want to see their spending, their benefits cut. So this is basically what you're seeing in Wisconsin is what you're seeing in Washington.
And by the way, is anybody going to talk about raising taxes? Because so far there seems to be a lot of focus
on...
Well,
they passed
it
in the Illinois State House. They passed a tax raise. We'll see if that can go anywhere. I don't know if it could happen anywhere else. But Illinois did.
Is it
going to happen in Washington?
They're looking to reform corporate taxes, which could mean some higher taxes in some places, but lower in others, make it more streamlined. But whatever the case is, raising taxes is always a difficult thing.
That's Charlie Herman, Takeaway Economics editor, says we're going to see a lot of showdowns this week. I think that's a pretty safe bet. And Christian Freeland, Reuters global editor in large, says what we are seeing is the Groupon effect. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.